Oh, well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name's Mark, as Stephen said. It is really lovely to be here with you. I was remembering all about the weekend away a couple of years ago. It was the weekend that I learned that my son is infinitely better at French cricket than I am. It was the weekend that I learned that I cannot Kaylee dance. But it was also a weekend where I made many friends. And it's lovely to be back here with you. And to look at this great passage from Galatians, I'm going to pray. And then we're going to dive in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've been learning all about the freedom that Jesus has won for us. But as we heard last week and we'll continue to hear this week, Father, we don't want to use that freedom that you've won for us from having to do good works to be right with you. We want to use that freedom, Father, not for selfish things, selfish desires to please ourselves, but in ways that humbly serve and love others. And we pray that today you would help us concretely think about how we might do that so that Jesus is honored and we are loving and people are loved. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, please keep your Bibles open in Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to think, last week you will have heard at the end of the Bible passage, the Apostle Paul, who writes this letter, urging his readers to keep in step with the Spirit. Now, I know that you'd have begun to think about that last week, but have you ever thought about what it means to keep in step with the Spirit? How do you do that? Well, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard anyone say keep in step with the Spirit and you can't work out whether it's a dance or what it is and you've never thought about it before. Well, that's fine. You've got no idea. Maybe you have heard about it before, but you're still confused. How do I keep in step with the Spirit? What does that mean? And you know when you get confused about something and you haven't got time to sort of process it and think about it, you just park it and you don't think about it anymore. Or maybe you have begun to think about it, and you think it's kind of mystical, and you don't know what to do with that, and so you don't do anything with it. Well, I've been all three of those things. I've thought all three of those things about keeping step with the Spirit, and here's the danger with it. If we think, if we hear keeping step with the Spirit, but we do nothing with it, we don't keep in step with the Spirit. We won't do it. And the passage that we've heard read by Charlotte this morning, that we're going to look at further, tells us that if we don't do anything about it, it has eternal consequences. So this passage that Paul writes us this morning is super important because it's going to give us concrete guidance on what it means to keep in step with the Spirit so that we don't have to be confused. We don't have to be scared by a kind of mystical thing that we don't understand. And we actually do it. That's what we're going to dive into do, and that's what we're going to look at. So, what does Paul say? Well, just for those of you who might have joined us for the first time this summer, or for the first time ever, I don't know, if you have, you're welcome. It's lovely to have you with us. Or for those of you who maybe missed a few weeks, it's lovely to have you with us too. I'm just going to give us a recap of what's gone on so far. So, the Apostle Paul, the guy who wrote this letter, he was sent and he was given revelation by Jesus, so he was sent by Jesus to plant churches and tell people about Jesus. He was taught by Jesus himself, and he's writing to this church in Galatia, which is a modern-day Turkey. They're in danger of being deceived by false teachers. These false teachers have come in, and they're trying to trick the believers that to be proper Christians, they don't just have to believe in Jesus, but they have to keep God's law too, to be right with God. But we know from this letter, that's not the case. We know from this letter, that's never been the case. The Bible tells us that yes, we have all sinned. None of us have kept God's law perfectly. And that can be summed up, God's law can be summed up by saying to love God with all we've got, and to love our neighbours as ourselves. Now, none of us have done that perfectly. We naturally put ourselves first rather than God first or other people first. And this sin, the Bible tells us, sadly separates us from God. And it means we will face God's judgment forever. But the great news of Christianity, what we've heard already in this letter, is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only person who truly loved God with everything he's got and who loved his neighbors as himself. In verse one, in chapter 1, we saw Paul write, he gave himself for us to rescue us. Jesus gave himself for us to rescue us from the punishment we face from God, so that if we put our trust in him, believing in who he says he is and what he says he's done for us, we will be right with God. That is the beauty of the gospel. And it says in Galatians that we will be free. We'll be free from having to keep all of God's law just to be right with God. Free from guilt and condemnation that would hang over our heads whenever we messed up. Free now to enjoy God forever, even though you and I have messed up. That is the freedom that Paul is wanting to write to the Galatians about. It's wonderful. And if you're here and you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian, maybe you're just looking into things, thank you for being here. It is great that you're here. But I wonder if that surprises you. It did me when I first realized it. Do you realize that to believe in Jesus brings us true freedom? But here's the thing. In last week's passage, we learned that we're not to use our freedom to live any way we like and to just do what we like, but rather we're to use our freedom to keep in step with the Spirit. But what does this mean? Well, we're to follow the Holy Spirit's lead. But it's not a mystical experience. No, listen to how John Stott, a famous Christian preacher, once put it. He put it like this. The first and great evidence of our living by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, or being filled by the Spirit, is not some private mystical experience of our own, but our practical relationships of love with other people. So this morning we're going to see what it means to keep in step with the Spirit. And it's all about the gospel, the good news of Jesus, transforming our relationships into relationships of love with other people. It's great. We're going to dive in here. So I forgot to press the clicker. We're not going to worry about that. We're going to dive in. We keep in step. If I press the clicker, will something come up? Oh yeah, it will. Okay, here we go. How we keep in step with the Spirit. Sorry, Charlotte, you probably told me that. So here we go. This is the first thing we hear. We keep in step with the Spirit, and we find this from verses 1 to 6 in Galatians, by carrying each other's burdens. Now imagine you had a friend in church who very sadly couldn't stop lying. Couldn't stop lying to you and others. You asked last week if he was okay because he hadn't been in church. And he said, oh yeah, I had a bit of a bug. I didn't feel like I could come. But then a friend had said later in the week that he'd seen him down at the football. Another time, he said he'd done something. He said he'd spoken to someone about it, but nothing came of it. And when you asked the person who was meant to have spoken to, they said he'd never turned up. Just two examples of this person persistently lying to you and others in the church family. And what's it doing? It's harming his relationship with you and it's harming his relationship with others. People can't trust him. Now, what would you do? Have a think to yourself. What would you do in that situation? Well, Paul says we need to carry each other's burdens. And he's talking about the church family here. See the word brothers in verse 1. He's talking about the church family. And the example he gives us of carrying each other's burdens in verse 1 is of someone caught in a sin. They're stuck. They're not able to overcome this sin without someone else's help. Like our friend, trapped in a web of lies. And rather than come clean, he'll just want to keep spinning those lies further and further, deeper into this web. What does Paul say we should do? Have a look with me at verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, You who are spiritual. Now that doesn't mean someone super spiritual. That means people who have the Spirit. That means people who are Christians. That means you and I. That means it's not an option to do nothing. You who are spiritual, that's us. What are we to do? To restore him gently. Come alongside him. Find out how he is. I know he's lied to you. I know that. But find out how he is so we can empathize with what's going on. And then gently confront him about his lies. Remember, we're not able to do nothing. That's not an option. But we're to gently confront him about his lies. And patiently keep going in this, I guess, because if he's spinning lie after lie after lie, it's probably unlikely that he's going to admit that he's lying first time round. Remember, he's caught up in this sin. Gently, kindly explain how it's harming his relationships with others in church, and how God is a God of truth, and the devil is the father of all lies. And we don't want him following the father of lies. We want him to be free to speak the truth. Rather, we want him to be restored to full, healthy relationships with one another here and full repentance with God. Repent of his sin before God. Now, that's just an example of how I might do it. But can you see, we're beginning then to lift the burden off the person who's lying, who's caught in this trap, and we're putting it a bit on our shoulders so we can help them through this. And help him get free, we pray, from the sin that he's caught in. So we keep step with the Spirit. We keep in step with the Spirit by carrying each other's burdens. And that is a specific example. But carrying each other's burdens can mean a whole range of things. Any burden that you see your brother or sister has. I had a friend who I met this week, a retired man, who was telling me how he and his wife care for two widows in their church family. He says every month he makes sure to check in with them. He'll give each one of them a ring. They'll have them over for dinner. If they need to go to the hospital, he'll take them, and then he'll text the pastor to let the pastor know that they're there. It was a church of 400, so the pastor wouldn't necessarily know. Just so that the pastor can visit them. If they've got any DIY, he'll be round like a flash. He loves DIY, this guy. Round like a flash to help them out. And I thought, isn't that a great example of carrying one another's burdens? And as we do, Paul says, we fulfill the law of Christ. And we saw that in last week in verse 13 and 14. That's to humbly and lovingly serve one another. Fulfill the law of Christ. That is lovely. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I hope your minds are sparking in loads of different ways about how you might carry each other's burdens. But there's a snag. There's a snag. Because it's not easy to carry each other's burdens, is it? It's hard. It's difficult. But there's something that gets in the way. This is the big snag, and it's us. It's our pride. And this is what Paul wants us to kill. Because pride is the killer of humble and loving service of others. And so in verse 1, Paul writes, "Watch yourself, or you also may be tempted." What's Paul got in mind here? Does he think if we gently start trying to confront a friend who's lying to us, that we're going to start lying too? I don't think so. Because if we've seen the damage that lies have caused, we're probably not going to want to start lying too. But Paul has just told the Galatian Christians in verse 26 of the last chapter, last line of the last chapter, to not become conceited, which means be vain. Don't be vain. Don't be all consumed and worried about yourself and your own honor and your own glory. Because if we're vain, worrying about our reputation and ourselves, then we're likely to be tempted to be proud. Especially as we help someone else caught in a sin. Do you remember the Pharisee and the tax collector? Do you remember when the Pharisee said, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like that man over there. I fast twice a day and blah, 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 and he's a nightmare." Now, if we think, well, first of all, do you think that Pharisee will be gentle about confronting that other person about their sin? No way. And if we think we're better than the person we're serving, do you think we'll be gentle? No. We'll look down on them, won't we? Our noses will be in the air. We'll be glaring down at them, getting frustrated with them for not being able to sort themselves out. Why can't you be like me? I sorted myself out. I'm not trapped by that sin. Little do we know we are trapped by pride. But this was a particular problem for the Galatian church because they were in danger now of becoming proud of their law keeping. Remember, these false teachers had come and said, it's not enough just to believe in Jesus. You've got to keep God's law too. And as soon as you start thinking about that, you start thinking, oh, I'm keeping God's law a bit better than them. And then you get proud. But think about us. What do we do when we walk into a room? I'm sad to admit, I don't know if you're like me, but and actually God's helped me over the years not do this, but I used to just walk into a room and immediately I was like judging other people and myself and ranking myself amongst them, depending on, I don't know, what clothes you wore, what car you drive, what job you had, all that kind of stuff. Paul says we won't be able to carry each other's burdens if we think we're something. We need our thinking to be transformed by the gospel, to give us a proper view of ourselves. And that's what Paul helps us with in verse 3 of our passage. First, he says, we deceive ourselves when we think we're big stuff, because actually we're nothing. Now, what does he mean? I think he means like what Jesus says in John chapter 5 verse 15. Jesus says that apart from him, we can do nothing. Jesus is the source of all we do. If we think it's all down to us, then we lie to ourselves. Paul says we deceive ourselves. And to ensure we get that, verse 4, Paul calls us to test our own actions. Weigh up your thoughts, weigh up your words, weigh up what you've done. Not against your standards or anyone else's standards, weigh them up against God's standards. See if you measure up. Think of it now. Let's do it now. How have you done today in humbly and loving serving others? Have you served anyone other than yourself today? And if you did, did you do it through gritted teeth? Annoyed that you had to do it? Even if we just look at our morning, we don't measure up, do we? And Paul says, don't compare yourself to anyone else, because at the end of the day, verse 4, when Jesus returns to judge, he says, each one will carry their own load. What he means by that is we've all got to answer for our behavior, just our own behavior, to Jesus when he returns. Now, the gospel transforms relationships first by humbling us. And that's what Paul's done here, hasn't he? When we measure ourselves against God's standards, we are found wanting. We are not better than anyone else. But we don't despair, because the gospel lifts us too. Because then we remember why we are free, that God sent his one and only Son, whom he loves, to rescue us and die for us. So the gospel humbles us. We are not the big man we think we are. But we don't despair, because the gospel lifts us up too. God loves us so much, he sent his only Son to die for us. You and I are of infinite worth to God. Each one of us. We're not who we think we are, but God thinks much more of us than we've ever realized. And that gives us both humility and it gives us joy. And humble, loving service is fueled by humility and joy, so that we can be gentle with others, because we know we're no better. And we can keep serving them because of how Jesus has lovingly and wonderfully served us. Joy and humility fuel humble, loving service of others. And so, encouraged by God's great love for us, yet humbled by our sin, We can serve one another humbly and joyfully by carrying each other's burdens. And I want to ask you today, whose burden do you need to carry today? Whose burden do you need to carry this week? How are you going to do that humbly and lovingly? Well, we're going to see two further ways that we can keep in step with the Spirit. But before we do, Paul does not want this church family in Galatia, and he does not want Christchurch Greenbank to be deceived. And to help us not be deceived, God has given the church teachers of the Bible, instructors of his word. And here Paul reminds the Christians of our responsibility to share all good things with our teachers of the word. And it's another lovely kind of gospel relationship. Teachers give by sharing their God-given spiritual gifts with the church family. And the church family are to share their God-given financial resources, and other things, I take it, as well, but definitely financial resources, with the teachers. There's this beautiful fellowship. And in this way, the church family carry the financial burden that comes from spending time in preparing to preach and teach God's word to the church. And that helps the church not be deceived. So, we can deceive ourselves by thinking too highly of ourselves. But there's another way too. We can deceive ourselves by thinking too lightly about God. And this is the second way we keep in step with the Spirit. Because we keep in step with the Spirit by realizing that our sin will find us out. In verse 7 and 8. Speaking of lying, I remember once lying to a teacher. I wanted to go down. At our school, you could go downtown. So you could go downtown, you could get some sweets, you could hang out with your mates or whatever. But only a certain number of people could go downtown. You had to go to the teacher and ask for this little chit, they called it, which was like a ticket to go downtown. So you had to come up with some reason to go downtown. You couldn't just go and say, oh, I just want to go downtown and get some sweets. So I concocted this big whole reason that my mom was coming in to go to W.H. Smith's, you know, the news agents, and she wanted to buy me this magazine, but she didn't know which magazine it was, and I had to go downtown, and I had to show her the magazine, and then she was going to buy me the magazine, and then I could bring it home, and all the rest of it. Now, clearly, my teacher saw through it instantly, told me, is this a porky pie? Which his word for lies. Oh, I was so embarrassed, and I cringed, and I omitted it. Verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Make no mistake. We reap what we sow. Our sin will find us out. Just like my sin found me out that day. We sow in lies. We reap embarrassment. We continue to sow in lies. We reap loneliness as people don't trust us, don't want to talk to us anymore, don't want to help us. You don't have to share it, but can you think of a time in your life when your sin has found you out? It's true, isn't it? This is the way God set up the world. Verse 8, if we sow to please ourselves, that's our sinful nature, our flesh, if we sow to please ourselves, we reap the consequences, which God here says is destruction. Remember I said, keeping in spirit has eternal consequences. And here's the first. If we act to please ourselves, go our own way, do what we want, and we let that go unchecked, instead of keeping up with the Spirit, God cannot be mocked. Make no mistake. Sadly and scarily, we will face God's judgment, which here is called destruction. And it's not an annihilation. It's not one minute we're gone. It is God's continued judgment and punishment for eternity. Well, realizing that there are eternal consequences to not keeping in the Spirit will help us, spur us, to humbly and lovingly serve others. It's not an option to not do that. Not just for the sake of the person who needs the help, but for our eternal safety too. So maybe think to yourself over today and the rest of this week, how am I? In what way am I sowing to please myself? And if you need help with that, to stop doing that, you've got a whole church family to carry your burdens. But there's a final way that Paul says we are to keep in step with the Spirit. And that's by not growing weary in doing good. Verses 8 to 10. So imagine you come out of church today and you're all excited. You've thought of a whole array of people who you can help carry their burdens in life. And you've realized one particular one, a person is carrying a heavy burden. And you want to help them. Perhaps they're caught in a sin like we've talked about. And you're all determined to restore them gently. You remember, you're no better than them. You've been humbled by what Paul said today. You're not going to fall into that trap. But you've been buoyed by the joy that Jesus has served you so you can go out and serve others. And you come alongside them. What do you think is going to happen? In most cases, it is going to be harder than you thought. It is going to take longer than you thought to help them. And frankly, at times, it's going to be exhausting. How are you going to keep going? We'll have a look at verses 8 and 9 with me in the Bible passage. Paul writes, "Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Here are two huge gospel encouragements to keep us going. These will transform our relationships so that we're not fly by night, so that we stick by people's side even when it's hard and when it takes long. Remember, those who sow in tears will reap in joy. As we seek to please the Spirit, to keep in step with Him, by humbly and loving serving others, carrying their burdens, we will reap, Paul says, eternal life. Now we know from the rest of this letter, it is not that we have to do this good to reap eternal life. No, it's not to be saved. Jesus has already saved us. But our faith in Jesus will work itself out in these good works. We won't just, we will want to do it. It's our way of showing Him thanks. It's our way of becoming like Him. It's that kind of eternal life, the eternal life that we've won, we will reap. If we do not, the eternal life Jesus has won for us, we will reap. If we do not become weary in doing good, Paul says, we will reap a harvest if we keep going. But it's hard, isn't it? That's why Paul writes it here. It's hard. How do you keep serving others when you're shattered? Paul says, lift up your eyes. Let us lift up our eyes. Look to the day when Jesus returns. Eternal life for us. Eternal life, eternal joy with Jesus forever. Perfect rest and perfect freedom. But what of that person you spent ages with, trying to help them out of that snares of that sticky sin, through all the ups and deep downs? What of that person who finally and through many tears was restored to full relationship with you and others, repented before God? What about them? When you see them at Jesus' return, rejoicing at His side, can you picture that now? Will that not be a harvest worth hanging in for now? Look to the finish line, Paul says, and let's not grow weary in doing good. Instead, as we're able, let us do good to all the people we come into contact with, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Have a look around you. We're family. We're a family of believers. Yes, we're to do good to everyone. But this is the main family to do good to. And to encourage each other to keep going in doing good to. So, here's the challenge, Christchurch Greenbank. Will you keep in the spirit, keep in step with the spirits by carrying each other's burdens, realizing that your sin will find you out, and not grow weary in doing good? If you don't, well, you'll probably pay lip service to the needs of others, won't you? We're in a church. You'll probably pretend or pay lip service or sort of try and help someone out. But really, in your heart, you'll be looking down your noses at them for being in need. Annoyed that they're stopping you doing what you want to do. Remember your sinful nature. And you'll probably give up at the first sign of it getting hard. You won't be keeping in step with the Spirit. And if you persist, if we keep persisting in that, walking away from the Spirit, not keeping in step with the Spirit, we'll, God says we will face the eternal judgment of Him. But if you do, if you take these words to heart, what will happen? Well, you will save your brother or sister from a slavery to sin. They will be gently restored. You will be humble, knowing yourself sinful too, but joyful, knowing yourself loved by God. You will see yourself, you will see others rightly, and it will make all the difference. You will not think lightly of sin, and you will keep your eyes fixed on the day when Jesus returns, and it will all be worthwhile. And in the meantime, loads of good will be done in this church. For you guys, but also for all those who come into contact with you. You will be a church family, Christchurch Greenbank, that doesn't just preach grace, but lives it out. And it will be beautiful to be a part of. And it will be beautiful to behold from outsiders. And here's the thing, as you strive for this, this is a call to action. But as you strive for this, you're not alone. Yes, you are to keep in step with the Spirit. But we have the Spirit. And He's helping us to do this. We found out in chapter 5, He will lead us in this. He will grow the fruit of the Spirit in our heart. He will grow that love, joy, peace, that patience that you need to hang in there. He will grow it as you strive for it. And as you pray for it, He will help you be the spiritual person God calls us to be. And we will be using our freedom in the way that Jesus won us for. And we'll bring Him much glory. We have a great challenge. But how great a helper we've been given. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us this morning. That You would help us this week. Father, we want to carry one another's burdens. We want to keep in step with the Spirit. We don't want to take our sin lightly. We know it will find us out. And Father, we just want to keep going in doing good. We look to that day when we and those we've helped will rejoice in Jesus' coming, and we can't wait. But Father, if we're honest, our selfish desires get in the way. Our pride gets in the way. We do take Your word too lightly when we think about the final judgment. We don't even lift our eyes up to that day that much. And so, Father, we pray, please would Your Holy Spirit help us. Please help us to be those who humbly love and serve others. And we pray that we would help one another. And we pray that we'd help people outside. And we pray that as we do that, Jesus would get all the glory. And we would become more like Him. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.